Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. Glad to have you on January the 3rd, 2026. Mark, did you ever think you'd make it?
Yeah, there were times in my life I didn't know if I'd make it. But, yeah, good morning, Randy. It's so good to be here. It's a little bit rainy, a little drizzly. I'll tell you what, though, I'm really proud of myself this morning because I knew it was raining.
Yeah.
So I brought my swimmies. So when I stepped out of the truck, the water was high. I floated a little bit, got here. No problem. Just want to let you know.
And you got here perfect.
Perfect, I mean, yes.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
So that's great. Coach Cleveland has the weekend off. He's visiting family and spending time with them. So certainly well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to Rick last night and again this morning, and he's doing good, spending a little time with some grandkids and his son. And told me he had one of his son has turned into quite the chef. Clay is knows how to really whip up some a backstrap.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
So there you go.
Good stuff. Good stuff for sure. Hey, got a full show lined up for you today to start out this 2026 year. Coming up in our next segment, we'll visit with a good friend of ours. Corey LeBounty is going to be on. I can tell you, whenever you talk with Corey, get ready because he can lay it on you. I mean, we'll talk football, we'll talk basketball, we'll talk college, we'll talk high school. We'll do it all with Corey coming up at 8:15 and maybe even carry over to the 8:30 hour.
That's right. And I'm looking forward to talking with Corey. Man, you talk about a guy who's got his finger on the pulse of athletics in the state of Alabama. Corey does it. He keeps up with just about everything, and looking forward to – he's going to tell us about who's hot in basketball right now. Looking forward to hearing that.
No doubt. And then at 8:45, we'll talk Robertsdale High School wrestling. We'll do that with the wrestling coach, J.T. Cosnell.
Yeah, J.T. is a friend of mine. I've got to know J.T. over the last few years, and looking forward to talking to him about the fastest-growing sport in the United States right now.
Wrestling.
Girls wrestling.
Really?
Yes. And we're going to talk to JT about that. He is a big proponent of it. He's worked at Gulf Shores for a couple of years, and now he's working at Robertsdale and doing the same thing there. So we're going to talk a little bit about Robertsdale wrestling and then about girls wrestling and how that's growing in the state of Alabama.
That'll be good stuff, no doubt about it. We'll start our second hour at 9 o'clock. We'll talk some Hoover basketball. We'll do that with Scott Ware, the basketball coach for Hoover.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to Scott and the job he's done at Hoover. You know, last year they were state champions, an unbelievable basketball team, and this year, you know, he's got another really good team. He lost some good players off that team last year, but they're playing well, and looking forward to talking to Scott. He's going to kind of bring us up to date on Birmingham and in North and Central Alabama.
And then we'll at 9:15 we'll talk a little football. We'll do that with the head football coach for Samford. John Gross will be on with us.
John Gross is a guy that I've so fortunate to say that I've known John for years, way back into the 90s when he was at Hoover, and they were still, he was with Rush there, and they were starting the he was one of the guys who helped start the Tony Franklin offensive system in the state of Alabama. John was a big proponent of it, did it, and then carried it with him to head coaching stints at for himself, and went on to Jacksonville State as head football coach. He's been at Clemson for the last 3 or 4 years, but he's just gotten a job as head coach at Samford University. And John's just one of my favorite people, just a really, really good man, good football coach, and brings a lot of good stuff to Samford.
It'll be fun talking with him, no doubt about it. And then, as usual, we'll wrap up the show with the Camp Grace segment. You'll have that for us today.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that have transpired over the years, some good things that we've seen happen in different places of our country. And we're going to kind of talk about how athletics and how we tie athletics into our spiritual life and what we can do with that. And I think it's an important part of athletics is tying things together where it's not all about winning and losing all the time, I mean, it's a big part of it. That's a big deal, winning, you know, winning games, because you don't go out there to compete to get beat. You go to compete to win. But there is also this component of we want to go out there and compete and still have compassion and help and be able to help other folks in different places who may be going through a tough time.
You know, coming off the holiday season now, I guess everything kind of starts folding back. We get back in our routines. School cranks up on Monday. You got basketball that's beginning to hit real hard. Got a lot of games going on this weekend. A
lot of games going on. I know yesterday I went up to school and got the concession stand stocked up. It was a little bit behind, and so I had to get some stuff put in there. But we got basketball games today. We're playing, if I'm not mistaken, I looked at my schedule this morning, St. Michael today in JV boys, varsity girls, and varsity boys. That'll be a big deal today. Big rivalry there.
Speaking of St. Michael's, you gotta give kudos to the head football coach, Philip Rivers, who is now quarterbacking, as most of everyone knows, for the Indianapolis Colts right now. They haven't won, but I got to tell you, he's performed pretty well.
Sure he has. Randy, you are exactly right, buddy. I tell you what, when I saw that thing about him coming out there, I was really a little worried for him.
Yep.
You know, because he hadn't been in the game in
a
while.
5 years.
And when you're not in the game and hadn't been doing all those movements that you do, it kind of can make you a little bit rusty. And now, granted, he's gotten older. The arm doesn't pop like it used to, you know, when he throws the ball. But he's still standing out there at 44, 45 years of age, standing out there in the middle of these huge people running at him. And he's still the captain of that ship. You could watch him when he was directing and calling the stuff. And
still competitive.
Still a competitor. And, man, I tell you what, I think, you know, Riley Leonard is going to start this weekend for Baltimore. I don't think Phillip's playing, or he may not be starting. He may be on the maybe a backup today, but Riley's starting the game. And but I think for Phillip, I think it's a great thing. Now, it cost him. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But he's going to be. Now you got to kick it back five more years.
So it pushed him back a little bit. But I don't think that was a real big worry for Phillip.
You know, whenever you look at it, too, you think about all the football games. Think about how long football, the National Football League, has been in process, basically, and how many years they've been playing. There's only been five other quarterbacks to have gone into quarterback at the age of 44 or more.
That's correct. And I'm telling you, it's a hard thing to do. I remember watching years ago, the one I remember was a guy by the name of George Blanda.
No doubt, with Oakland.
I don't think he ever stopped. I think he just kept going.
He didn't stop coming.
Now, he wasn't a starter. He was a backup for most of his career.
Yeah.
But he just kept on doing it. I think he was like well over 45 the last game he quarterbacked. And I was like, good grief, that's pretty amazing. Of course, back then, everybody was pretty much a drop-back passer.
Yeah.
You know, there was only one or two Fran Tarkentons who would run around all over the place, you know.
Fran Tarkenton.
And, but back then, there wasn't, you know, a dual-threat quarterback was not something we talked about. Either you threw it or you didn't, you know. So, but Phillip, I'm telling you what, I was really tickled for him. I was tickled for his players. To get to see him play. Some of them even went to the game.
Yeah.
You know, and they got to go watch.
Cool.
That had to be cool for those kids to go watch their coach compete. And, you know, and they know he's a competitor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going to get up there and he's going to play it. He's not afraid. He's not going to back up from you. Yeah, that's just – it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
Well, and you mentioned Riley Leonard. Of course, that is kind of unique as well whenever you look at both Phillip Rivers and Riley Leonard. Only 5 miles apart here in Fairhope.
Right here in Fairhope. That's right.
Yep,
so we're pulling for Riley today, you know, or whenever they play. I'm not sure when Indianapolis plays. I haven't looked at the pro schedule much over the weekend.
I'll look it up for you.
I was hurting watching the Alabama play the other day, but we'll talk about that later. But
Lord have mercy,
good grief.
Do we have to?
Man, I tell you what now. Indiana's a good football team, and I like the way they're coached.
I like him. The way he marches down that sideline, dude's intense.
He's a little scary.
He's got that eye.
He's got that eye that kind of like, you're not sure. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But, man, he's done what a job he's done at Indiana. And
Pathetic showing for Alabama.
Not good.
Not pathetic. Good showing. It was not good showing. They out-physicaled us. As someone told me, they Alabama'd Alabama.
That's exactly right. All right, we take our first time out. When we come back, we visit with Coy Labonte. We're going to get into some high school basketball. We'll talk a little football with him as well. So don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. I saw your picture.
Not in the post office.
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland the weekend off. And we're going to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill line, guest line here in just a second, but got to talk a little bit about Premier Collision. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, or you can give them a call, 251-478-4500. Tell them that we sent you. Listen, if you got a little ding or a big ding, they're gonna take care of you.
They're going to pick you up on the
road. And they do an awesome, awesome job. I've used them. Coach Cleveland's used them. Mark, you've used them on many occasions.
Yep. They just do a great job, you know, and they treat you like family. They let you know what's going on. And so we just appreciate Chris and his family and the job that they do at Premier Collision.
Absolutely. So, again, 251-478-4500, or go by and visit them at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile. It is Premier Collision. All right, let's go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in a good friend of ours, Mr. Coy Labonte is on the line with us. Coy, how you doing, my man?
Happy New Year to you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to jump on with you guys. Too blessed to be stressed, my brother.
I hear you. Happy New Year,
goodness.
Buddy.
Hey, yes, hey, Coy, let's talk. You keep up with basketball, high school basketball in the area, in the state basically, but certainly in our area. As you go around, kind of young in it's kind of getting kicked back off now with the holidays over with. A lot of these schools, a lot of these teams play during the holidays. Who right now is a team that is just hot, that's on fire?
You know, you think about a couple of schools, and one that jumps out from a boys' standpoint are the Williamson Lions. And the Williamson Lions, they were ranked number one when the first poll came out, and then they got bumped to number two. A northern school overtook them in that place. But the Williamson Lions definitely have all of the weapons that you need to get a blue map. And Coach Kenton Griffin has done a phenomenal job. They won the green bracket in the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic, beating Milton out of Florida by almost 17 points, and really have one of the most underrated players in the entire state of Alabama in Corion Coleman. He probably leads the state in scoring, averaging over 39 points per game. So from a boys' standpoint, I would say the most impressive team I have seen have been the Williamson Lions. And from a girls' standpoint, it's kind of a sprinkle of what you've seen so far. Daphne, the Lady Trojans, and Kenyatta Perry have done a great job, led by Abby Johnson. You look at Alma Bryant and the great story that's going on over there with Coach Peacock's husband having a traumatic brain injury and her having to take care of her husband. The Bryant girls have only lost a couple of games as well, so they've done a phenomenal job. Fairhope's girls have been really solid in playing great basketball. So, you know, across the board, there's been some great basketball being played, and now that it is officially January, we officially started area play last night and getting geared up for area play. Even though the kids aren't back in school, basketball goes on.
That's right. Corey, tell us a little bit about, have you seen, this is a question kind of out from left field, have you seen Jackson High School play?
Yes. I again, Coach Laster, let's talk about the golden era, okay, of high school sports. Okay. Sometimes in a community, a homegrown community such as Jackson, Alabama, they are your back-to-back state football champions. They are your back-to-back basketball state champions, and oh yeah, by the way, they also have some guys that have won a state championship in track and field, outdoor track and field as well. So you start looking at what Coach Anthony Haynes is been able and is being able to do. They came into LaFleur's gym about 3 weeks ago, and I was able to broadcast that game. They were down, it was right maybe a week after they won the football state championship. Landon Duckworth, we know he's an early enrollee to South Carolina, so he's not playing basketball this year. But Keon Red Chapman, who is going to North Carolina and playing for Coach Belichick, he is just now starting to get his basketball legs under him. They came into LaFleur's gym, were down 18 points, came back and won that game by 10 points. So we had a plus 28 turnaround there by the Jackson Aggies. And this was like in their second game back. But Joseph Taylor, tremendous guard, averages probably 18 to 20 a game. I mentioned Red Chapman, the dynamic leaper wide receiver, and Rod Hamilton, the sharpshooter that they have. Guys, look for Jackson to really three-peat in 4A in basketball as well.
You know, that's kind of what I was getting after. I hadn't seen them. I hadn't seen much about them, but I knew they were loaded, and they're just – it's one of – like you said, it is a golden age there in Jackson, Alabama. They got some athletes running across that program the last several years, and they are taking home a lot of blue maps. So kudos to that bunch. Tell us a little bit, Corey, about some of the regions we've got going on and who you kind of see or area play, who you see is going to be ones with the shot to win that area and possibly get to Birmingham.
You know, you go back, and I'm going to give props back to Vigor High School once again. 1 year ago, I know a new year, you have new athletes, you have a new team, you graduate guys, but again, you can't take anything away from what Lee Riley and the Vigor Wolves program was able to accomplish a year ago, bringing that school's first ever state championship blue map to Vigor. But in that 5A area, you know, you have areas instead of regions in basketball, right, which makes it a little bit more difficult to sit down there and say, okay, I can absolutely remember who's all in 5A Area 1 and 6A Area 1 or Area 2. But normally what winds up happening is last night I was at the LaFleur Centennial game, and that was the first area game for LaFleur Centennial. You also had St. Paul's and Vigor play each other last night. And all of those teams are in one area. And then you go around and you look at the other, and Faith Academy is in that area as well. That's that five-team area. And then you look around and you have the other ones that are on the other side. I guess you would call it 5A Area 2 with your BC Reigns and your Williamsons. And that would make the other side of a small basketball area instead of region. But as far as having the best opportunity and what I've seen in 1A through 7A, I'll give a shout out to one of my former students, Joshua Harris at McIntosh. They came in as a smaller school, and they have only lost maybe a couple of games so far at McIntosh, and that's a smaller classification school, of course. So they're going to be tough to beat. And then you look at your larger classification schools, Mary G. Montgomery in 7A and Foley in 7A. Roosevelt Moore has done a great job, along with Maurice Walker, one of his star players, in trying to turn the corner at Foley as well. And again, what winds up happening in basketball, unlike football, is if you do have a five-team area, that number one seed will get that bye. And then, of course, your one or your number two will play your five, and then you'll have your two versus your three. And if you're in a small three-team area, which some teams are in basketball, that one gets that bye, that two and three play each other. And again, just now starting area play in January, this month, fellas, will be critical in trying to determine your seeding, because, you know, some coaches love a bye. because that means that you're hosting the area tournament, extra revenue for your school, extra opportunity for your fans to get a chance to see you play. And if you're in a tight game, you know, you have that home crowd behind you. So, you know, now that January 2026 is here, all these teams are playing for an opportunity to host an area tournament.
Hey, look, we're going to take a timeout. Corey, you're going to hang tight with us because when we come back, I want to talk some more high school. But we got to jump into a little college because you know where I'm going to go with this. You know where I'm going to go with it. All right, so don't go anywhere. We're visiting with Corey LeBounty right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. Coach Cleveland, the weekend off. The guys on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest on, a good friend of ours, Corey LeBounty. And, Corey, we're talking some high school basketball right now. And Mark and I were just talking during the break here. Let me ask you and get your opinion on this. It seems like in high school basketball in the state of Alabama, you see more of the northern part of the state winning in basketball more than the southern part of the state. Why is that?
Yeah, I agree with you there. They say numbers don't lie. I mean, you go back and you look at Vigor and Jackson having the state championship in boys basketball a year ago. Everything else went to the northern part. And I think a lot of it has to do for many, many years. I can attest to this because I was a victim of our own successes at LaFleur High School when I was coaching both boys and girls as an assistant coach. We would have the number one ranked team the entire year. And it's just like what makes March Madness the greatest sporting event of the year. You play your worst game at the wrong time. And all it takes is one bad game after you're undefeated 30-0, 31-0, one bad game to where a team is hungrier than you, they believe more, or you pick your worst night to shoot the basketball well. And it just does not go well for our teams from down here, because there's been plenty of opportunities. Carla Berry is one of the most elite girls basketball coaches in the country, not just here locally, but in the country, that McGill Tulin has had. And there she went to maybe four or five consecutive Final Fours and kept coming up short, losing by one or two, or just getting beat by a team that winds up winning five or six consecutive state championships in a row. So I think the reason being, it's not that we don't have the athletic talent. It's not that we don't have the coaching. It's just that sometimes our teams down here, it's all about the draw. And sometimes it is that teams are more talented. If you go back at Hazel Green, when they win seven consecutive state championships, everybody else is just playing for second. And you know that sometimes. I mean, it just, the facts speak for themselves. Hoover girls, I mean, they're working on a dynasty. Crystal Johnson just got her 400th career victory at Hoover. Wow. And she has over 11 state championships at Hoover as a player slash coach. So sometimes, again, you're just playing for second place, and that's what it boils down to sometimes.
Yeah, let me ask you this too, Corey. While you're talking about Hoover basketball, we got Scott Ware coming on at 9 o'clock. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his team this year. But last year, and one of the great stories of last year was the Hoover basketball boys team. And if I'm not mistaken, they went undefeated throughout the season. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time ever in 7A basketball since it had been created that you did have an undefeated 7A program in boys basketball. And it really was. I mean, it doesn't hurt that you have a young man that's now in the starting lineup for the Tennessee Volunteers. It doesn't hurt that you have a young man that's verbally committed to Vanderbilt University that's still on your roster. It doesn't hurt that you have an all-state performer point guard that went on to sign with UAB. So those type of pieces to the puzzle never hurt. But you still have to get those guys to play together. You still have to get those guys to seek perfection. And Coach was able to do that a year ago, and it was fun to watch. I mean, they traveled nationally across. They even went to Alaska a year ago and won a tournament in Alaska. So they weren't scared of any opponent, and they dominated all opponents. And them and Huntsville were the two elite programs, and it was just fun to watch them go undefeated a year ago.
We're visiting with Corey Labonte right here on our Bujo's Cajun Grill guest line. Corey, we're going to turn the page here a little bit. I was telling Mark, it started into a story, and we ran out of time. But I got to share this. And, Mark, Corey and I did Faulkner State basketball for 15, 16 years. And Corey was my color analyst for a number of years. Back in 2015, Faulkner State, I love this story, Faulkner State is hosting the state tournament there in Bay Minette, and Faulkner State has made it. We've advanced. We're playing in the championship game, and it wasn't that Snead we were playing. Boy, was it Snead we were playing? And it looks like, hey, all indications we're going to win this. We're up double digits, about a minute left. Everybody's beginning to celebrate. There's tears on the bench, and one of our favorite players got to go in with about a minute left. We called him Sleepy.
Sleepy
goes to the side. He goes to the sideline, and he's going to inbound the ball. He can't inbound it. He's crying, right? And Corey, what do me and you start doing? We start crying.
Started crying. That raw emotion that you get a chance to see. Young men who have worked so hard to accomplish that ultimate goal, not only their ultimate goal, but to do it in their own gym,
right?
In the namesake gym of Jack Robertson Arena, to be able to win the state championship and send Coach Jack to another national tournament, to see those young people just play as hard as they could the entire season. Very special moment, one that I'll never forget. As not only a broadcaster or a coach, just happy to be affiliated with Randy Bergen's broadcasting of those games the entire tenure that he was there and doing a phenomenal job there. Just moments you'll never forget, because people forget how hard it is not to just get to a championship game, but to ultimately feel and get to the pinnacle and win it all. Not taken away from those times that we've gotten there and lost, because you know, nothing to hold your head down about that either. But to see young people just weep and cry with joy, nothing better than that.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And that's the whole point of that, is the fact that, as you just mentioned a few moments ago, you know, you play hard all year long, but just one game, and you lose and you're out, right?
That's right.
You've got to maintain that through the whole tournament, and watching these teams do that is incredible, and it's quite a feat for them to be able to do that. All right, hey, Coy, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, and I would be remiss, you being a big Alabama fan, if we didn't talk about that, and I'm not even going to call it a hiccup. I mean, it was a catastrophe Thursday night as Indiana just wallops Alabama 38-3. In the quarterfinal at the Rose Bowl there, what happened? Well, I mean, the offense didn't look good, the defense didn't look good. Indiana was smoking hot, and we had no answers for them.
No, you're absolutely right. No answers at all. And I will say this: if you go back and you look at the first quarter of play, first of all, I want to give kudos where kudos had to be given to Indiana. Indiana played and looked like the number one team in the country. I can't take anything away from what Coach Cignetti has been able to accomplish with his culture. Now, on the other side of that, when you start looking at 17 rushing attempts for 23 yards, I don't care what defense you're facing, whether it is the number one defense in the country, that's not going to cut it when you want to win a national championship, when you want to win an SEC championship. You go back and you look at Alabama's four losses, and they did not rush for over 50 yards in each of those four losses. You just must be able to rush the football and have some type of balance and not put all that pressure on your quarterback. I think O-line play definitely was a factor this entire year. It's going to have to improve. And I think that as an Alabama fan, I will say this. I became spoiled with the Nick Saban mentality, the process, and I'm going to quote him here, make in there you know what quit, okay?
Right.
And that's what Indiana did to Alabama Thursday. And that culture shift, when you do have culture changes that are in the program, you have a different system. I'm not saying that Coach DeBoer's system will not work because he's won his fair share of games. He's 2-0 against Auburn. He's undefeated against LSU. He's 1-1 against Georgia. He beat Georgia at Georgia. So he's done things that are good and are positive. And I think he's going to do well at Alabama. There just has to be some changes from an internal standpoint, because never, ever, ever within the last 18 years have we called Alabama soft. And that's what a lot of national pundits, a lot of fans are saying. And you just look at the numbers, and the numbers said we were soft on Thursday.
Man, you're absolutely correct. We were soft on the offensive front. We were soft on our defensive front. I don't know if we're not built to do what we had to do, but Indiana lined up and whipped us across both fronts all night long. And, you know, and even Herbstreit said, he said, Alabama's defense looks like they're just existing out there.
Yeah. You know, and Coach, you being a coach, and you've seen this, you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. When you look at that, when's the last time you've seen Alabama only score 3 points? When has that happened? Okay. But when you look at it, watching it through a coach's eye, you had to see things out there that just said, this is not, they were not ready to play ball. They were not ready to play ball. They did not know what they were walking into. And Indiana had everything. They brought everything, and they were prepared. I don't think Alabama was prepared to play ball.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think if we played them 10 times, I think they're going to beat us 10 times, because I think Indiana is a more hard-nosed football team. They're more physical than we are. They run the football downhill just like Alabama used to do, and we didn't step up. I mean, we stood there and took it. And that's what it looked like to me. Now, do we need to do a better job in the recruiting cycles and transfer portal or whatever? Yeah, but sooner or later, we got to create a mentality there. We're going to make their butt quit.
Yeah.
And until we do that, we're just going to be like, you know, run of the mill.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will be interesting to see what happens.
Corey, man, it is always great to have you on the show. We look forward to having you back on here real soon, my man.
Looking forward to it. And again, Happy New Year to you guys. Always love tuning in and listening to you guys. Y'all have a wonderful one, and God bless.
God bless, buddy. Thank you, Corey.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. Corey LeBounty. Happy New Year to him. And, boy, he's good. I mean,
that guy knows that basketball.
He does.
I mean, he knows football, too. Yeah. But when I love to listen to him talk, because he's rattling off names and teams and coaches, and I'm going, good gosh, how do you keep that all in your brain? I can't do that.
Let me say this, that when we were doing basketball, all right, he made me sound really good. He made me sound really good. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk some wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah.
Robert Steele Wrestling.
Robert Steele Wrestling, JT Gosnell.
There you go. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're broadcasting live today on the back veranda here at Quill Creek.
On the veranda.
That's exactly right. And, boy, you know, a little cloudy out. The rain has ceased. But it is really awesome back here today.
It really is. Nice, so, cool.
Yeah. So glad you're here with us. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Lasher. Coach Cleveland does have the weekend off. And, Coach, let me throw up there, quotes again, he is on assignment.
On assignment.
So
yes.
So there you go. But, look, Mark, we got a very special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line.
Yes, we do. A good friend of mine, the wrestling coach at Robertsdale High School, JT Gosnell, is with us this morning. And I got to know JT a couple years back when I was helping Bayside's wrestling program, and he taught me a lot of stuff about what's called track wrestling, which is a computerized program. You keep up with all your rosters and stats and all stuff, and I was lost, and he had to get me through it every week. So we developed a friendship, and it's just been a wonderful one. And I asked JT to join us today. Tell us a little bit about the Robertsdale wrestling team. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy. Where are y'all wrestling today?
So we are at Orange Beach High School this morning. We got the varsity and JV boys are going to start here in about 10 or 15 minutes. And yesterday I had the junior high boys over in Van Cleve, Mississippi, and the girls were over here in Orange Beach. So, yeah, we've been running around all Christmas break.
You have been. Tell us a bit about your wrestling team, how y'all are progressing. What y'all are getting ready to do coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, so this is my second year at Robertsdale. So last year I came in and we had a really young team. We had one senior, but he had never wrestled before. We didn't have any juniors. And then we had two experienced sophomores and a bunch of freshmen. So we had a really young team, and they've worked hard and developed. And so this year, they're a little bit older. We don't have any seniors on the boys' side, but we do have a couple of juniors and some sophomores. So we're getting better. We're progressing. We're, starting to see some success. I think we're kind of on that edge. So, I mean, I'm hoping maybe we can break through this year. We actually have – the boys have the region duels next week. So that's a pretty big time. You know, the state breaks down wrestling. You really have essentially two state championships. You have a duels state championship, which is team versus team. And then you also have an individual state championship, which is the traditional state championship in February.
Right. So a lot of folks may not understand, like the dual team tournament is like a basketball tournament where the whole team goes at one time and they against another team. And the regular tournaments that were done forever. When I first started wrestling and coaching wrestling, it was an individual, but you could score team points as an individual, but you didn't wrestle as a team like a basketball team would play. So that's what Coach is talking about, two different tournaments. And you got the regional duels. Where will those be held next week?
So there's going to be – our region is – there are eight teams in our region. This is 7A Region 1, and four of the teams are over in Mobile, and four of them are over here in Baldwin County. So Robertsdale is actually going to host – the four Baldwin County teams on Tuesday, and Baker High School is going to host the four Mobile County teams. And then essentially the top two teams in your region move on. So the top two from each of those two quads will meet up on Thursday, and we'll wrestle to figure out who the top two in the region are.
Where will y'all wrestle that?
So it should be at Daphne High School.
Gotcha.
Daphne won the region last year, so they should be hosting it. The only possible exception is if Daphne is not one of the top two teams. Which they probably should be, but if they're not, then we would have to scramble and another team would probably host.
I got you. Tell us a little bit about – this is one thing that I wanted to really talk to you about as I was been noticing that in the United States right now, girls wrestling is the fastest-growing sport. That and actually girls flag football, the two of them run kind of neck and neck. Can you tell us – why you think that is, or what you see and what you've seen from girls wrestling? And folks, it is is separate. It's not boys wrestling girls. It's girls versus girls, and boys versus boys is completely different. Can you tell us why you think that may be expanding like it is?
I mean, I think wrestling is a great sport, and I think once people try wrestling, that it kind of sells itself. And it's one of those things that you get out and start doing it. I mean, every little kid knows a little bit about wrestling. Like, I have two young children at home, and they both like to wrestle. You know, they'll jump on my back and wrestle a little bit. Every little kid likes to wrestle. So, you know, when girls actually get out here and they start learning how to wrestle, and it's a fair playing field, because, I mean, they're not having to wrestle boys. They're wrestling other girls. They're wrestling people that are roughly their same size. I think every child has a need for competitiveness and a physical outlet, and I think girls are finally able to get a fair way to get that, and I think it's exploding.
We're talking with the head wrestling coach at Robertsdale, JT Gosnell. And we're talking about right now the explosion of girls wrestling throughout the country and in our state. A couple of years ago, I went to the girls state championship tournament in it was at Thompson High School. And I think at that tournament, Coach, there was about, I don't know, 500 or 600 girls.
Wow.
Does that number sound about right? Or is that too much?
It may be a little high, but it's probably there now. We're probably somewhere in that neighborhood now. I know here at Robertsdale we have 13 girls on our team.
Wow.
And you know, Daphne High School is one of the stronger girls teams. They have a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Gulf Shores High School has a lot of girls. Just down here, this area, Baldwin and Mobile County, there are a lot of girls wrestling.
And even in other parts of the state. Yes, it is awesome to watch. I'm really glad to see that sport exposed. We got about another minute left. Coach, tell us a little bit about your girls team, how they're doing, when do they start their tournaments, et cetera, et cetera.
So the girls don't have the duels tournament yet. They just have the individual state tournament in February, but it's the same time as the boys. And I mean, like I said, we have a strong girls team. We have 13 girls. You know, we generally are in the top five in any tournament that we're going to. And, I mean, they're out there competing just like the boys. They practice hard, they work hard, and, you know, they're seeing some results. So, I mean, it's an exciting time.
Coach, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to talk with us this morning and tell us a little bit about Robertsdale Wrestling. We're so proud that those things are going on there at Robertsdale. And
absolutely.
If you see a young man by the name of Landon Lassiter, keep him in line.
I have seen Coach Lassiter. He does strength and conditioning for us along with the D.C. football. He seems to be a pretty solid young man.
Well, thank you, buddy. But keep him in line.
I wonder where he picked that up from.
JT, thank you, buddy. Good luck today, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, there you go, JT Cosnell, the wrestling coach for Robertsdale High School. You know, one of the things, too, and because I didn't really grow up around wrestling, you know, we didn't participate in any. I don't know, maybe part of it is I don't know how it's scored.
Yeah, it's okay. It takes a minute to learn it, but
yeah.
you almost have to come to practice.
I got
to watch how you score points, because in a match it goes too fast.
Gotcha. All right, we'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll head to Birmingham. We'll talk some basketball, Hoover basketball, with Scott Ware right after this.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Reports. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. Happy New Year to you as we kick off the 2026 season. It's going to be a good year. Mark, happy to be here. A lot of good things are going to be happening in 2026.
Yeah, absolutely is. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year.
Mark Lassiter is here. Coach Cleveland is not. He is on assignment. So he is giving us strict orders for this hour.
Yes.
Okay. We are going to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in.
We're going to
pretty good guest here.
Yeah, we are. A good friend of mine, a tremendous coach, basketball coach at Hoover High School, Coach Scott Ware. Coach, how are you this morning, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, buddy, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your Saturday morning to spend with us and tell us a little bit about the Hoover basketball team. I know that y'all been in, were y'all in South Carolina or out of state for a tournament?
Yeah, we just got back from Orlando.
Okay, Orlando.
Played in Orlando, played three really good basketball teams, came up a little short in the championship game, didn't shoot it very well at times, and got behind, just couldn't overcome it. But, you know, super proud of the guys. Had a great trip. Good opportunity for them to bond a little bit here in the middle of the season and get away. So,
absolutely. So you got a team, you know, last year's team, and we had you on last year, and we talked about the fantastic team that you had. And I think you and I even talked a little bit last year about, you know, after that's over, the next year's team, how do you get over that, and how do you move from that and move forward and not worry, can't play on last year's record or effort. You got to play on this year's. How has your team responded so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously last year's team was special, incredible, and we've tried to do it by year. I mean, in that group, we had them for 3 or 4 years, some of them, but everything, we didn't talk about the past. We try to look forward to the future and do the same thing with this group. And these guys have come out, and I mean, we're 14-6 right now, and right. I think there's a few games that we probably could have won and probably a few that we won that we could have lost, but as a coaching staff, we're really happy where we are right now. I think we're continuing to grow, and that's kind of been a big word for us. Is we've only got the one kid, the big kid, Jackson Sheffield, who's a Vanderbilt commit. We got him back that's played significant minutes the last couple of years. So it's a brand-new team, and our word was kind of grow throughout the year, and I think we've done that.
We're talking to Hoover High School basketball with Coach Scott Ware. Coach, you mentioned Jackson Sheffield. How about some of the other leaders on your team? Is Michael Glass now? I've seen his name quite a bit.
Yeah, Mike played. You know, he was our guy that came in just to spell some of the guards the last couple of years and didn't really have to do a whole lot. His job was kind of, you know, just make sure I stay out of the way. Well, he can't do that this year. He's had to take a bigger role, and well, he's had some really big games for us. He scored 29 points a couple of times, and just a great, great kid. I mean, Mike's up. He's one of the guys. The Finley Award's a big deal at Hoover High School, and he's one of the finalists for that award. And just super proud for him because he's a great kid and goes about his work and about his business every day. And just very happy for him and the way he's responded this year and tried to step up and be a leader.
You know, for folks who may not know, the Finley Award is an award named after legendary coach Bob Finley there at Berry High School before it became Hoover High School, then at Hoover High School. And he's just one of those guys that if it's an award named after him, it is one of the most prestigious awards in any, not even in Hoover High School, but in the state of Alabama. So that's quite a deal right there, Coach.
Yeah, just, and, you know, and I was asked by a couple of guys on the committee, and, you know, they have their criteria, and I said, you know, everything that's listed there is who Michael Glass is. So he's easy to brag about. He comes from a very good home, and just super proud for him and the way he stepped up and been able to kind of carry on and lead us as a positive person on and off the floor.
Right. Coach, tell us a little bit about it. Now, you play in I think you're playing Jackson Academy.
Today. Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, y'all playing them at home?
Yeah, we play today at 3. Very good basketball program. Coach does an excellent job. They'll come over here with a very, very good game plan and try to take some stuff that we try to do away. I mean, they were one of the, you know, we played them last year and they were one of the toughest games we had last year in that run that we were on, and you know, we talked and we enjoyed the game, and so we set it up this year. So they're going to come over and play us today at 3.
And that's going to lead y'all into area play.
Yep.
It starts next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I guess Festivity Hills.
You're right.
Yeah, we jump right in, you know, and that's how we do it. In January will be basically our next 6 games after this will be all area games, and so just try to get that seeding and hopefully you can get the home court advantage and host the tournament. So
your area is Vestavia Hills, Oak Mountain, and Hewitt Trustful High School. Those are and yourselves, and those out of the 3 teams that you're facing there, which one? I mean, I don't want to put you on a spot, but I mean, all 3 of those are going to be tough. But which one of them do you see as a matchup problem for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the thing about all 3 of those is incredible coaching staffs. The guys are going to be well prepared, and you know, we all know each other pretty well because we've all played in the past. And so, you know, obviously, Vestavia and us is just from the past is a huge rivalry. The Berry Vestavia thing, now the Hoover Vestavia thing. So those games are always very, very well attended, and the crowd's into it, and so it's, you know, big-time games. And Coach Monso does a great job over at Hewitt Trustful, and he's been unfortunate and had a couple of his better players got hurt, but they have not dropped off one bit. I know they're going to be tough. And then Coach Floyd does a great job at Oak Mountain. And when those guys are shooting it, man, they're tough. I mean, they've got several guys that can absolutely stroke it. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us in every game, and it's just one of those things that, you know, our guys try to embrace. We got Hoover on our chest, so everybody's after us to start with. So
sure.
It's just something that we try to embrace every night.
Oh, visit with Scott Ware talking to Hoover High School basketball coach. We only got about 2 minutes left here. Well, you talked about Jackson Sheffield. Now, Mark, here's a guy that's 6'10", 240, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of times whenever you look at high school basketball, the tallest player is going to be that 6'6", somewhere in there is about as tall as they get, right?
Yeah.
Hoover's got some – Coach, y'all got some big boys. You got 6'8", 6'10", 6'7". You got some height there.
Yeah, we've had years around here where we didn't have any height, and then all of a sudden – for the past 4, 5, 6 years, we've had some size. So whatever's in the water, I hope it stays around. So that's the way I like to play basketball, from the inside out anyway. And, you know, I know, right. You know, the Steph Curry effect where everybody wants to jack threes all the time. Now, we'll shoot them, but we still want to come from the inside out. So it's been a blessing for us as a coaching staff, because that's how we like to coach, from the inside out.
Coach, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday morning to spend with us and tell us a little bit about your team. And we look forward to watching you throughout the rest of the year, and hope to see you in Birmingham.
I appreciate it. You guys, I hope you have a blessed Saturday.
Thank you, buddy. Coach. Happy New Year, pal.
Same to you.
All right. There you go, Coach Scott Ware, head basketball coach for Hoover. And
they got a shot to do it again.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's quite a feat to be able to do what they did last year. And what do you say, they're 14-5 right now?
Yeah.
So that's – last year went undefeated?
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Nobody beat them. They went to Alaska and played and didn't get beat. I mean, if you go up to Alaska, you probably have jet lag.
Yeah.
You know, but they did not get beat. They had a really good course. Now, like he said, one of those guys who's on that team is starting for Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
That's SEC basketball.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
And the Sheffield's going to Vanderbilt.
Yes. He'll be in that same league.
Here's the deal. Okay. 6'10", you say, okay, well, he's tall, lanky, right? The guy weighs 240 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. He could play linebacker for you.
Sure, he could.
Or be a great wideout.
Be a wonderful tight end.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm sure it's fun to watch them, so we wish them very much success. Coach, we're going to have we're going to take a time out coming up, but we're going to talk some Samford football with John Gross right after this.
Yep, looking forward to it. The new head football coach at Samford University, Coach John Gross. Look forward to it.
We will talk with him when we come back right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. Guys, time to go back to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. Mark, welcome in a special guest.
We got a good friend of mine, and I am so happy that we were able to get John on with us this morning. The new head football coach at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, Coach John Gross. John, man, happy New Year. It's good to have you with us today.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. Anything for you, and just happy New Year to you, man. How's the weather in Mobile today?
It's a little rainy today, been a little cool, but at least it's not a hurricane. There's no wind blowing all over the place, so it's all good. You know what I mean?
There you go. Well, I've kind of thawed out the last week. We were in. I went to work the bowl game with Clemson in New York, and about froze to death. So
yes,
I was glad to get back to the South for sure.
No doubt, man. We're so glad to have you back in Alabama and back. You know, it kind of your roots here. You know, John is born in Asheville, Alabama, and. Coached in Asheville and coached at Hoover and coached at Spain Park and some other Oxford High School and went to Jacksonville State as OC and then head football coach there. before he went on to Clemson, and now he's back at Samford. Tell us a little bit about that journey, Bud, about going from a high school coach to an assistant in college and then to a head coach, and how that's been for you.
Well, I mean, it's been great, you know. I cut my teeth high school coaching, and I do feel like I'm just back home. It's just so many relationships, and just knowing the high school coaches and the areas and people from the different places we've been. And I'm just like you, you know. Just God's blessed me in the profession that I thought it was a job, and it's really a calling, you know. So it's just good to be back home and being able to do that. But you know, great coached high school ball for 22 years, and nothing like Friday Night Lights and people that are not in that, just being a part of a kid's journey from the time he's a freshman in high school to he graduates. Nothing like that. So my hat's off to all the high school coaches and just what the job they do and the role they're in and how important it is. It's like the old Billy Graham statement of, you know, a coach has a chance to impact more lives in one season than most people do in a lifetime. And that's so true, you know. So I'm so glad to be back in a state where I know all the high school coaches and just plug in and recruiting and, you know, and get those guys. We got a great place at Samford, so we've got a great place to recruit to. And, you know, it's a Baptist school, and so ministry is going to be, you know, first and foremost of what we do. But, you know, just adjusting from high school coaching to college coaching, I think we all, when we're coaching high school ball, you think, hey, I can coach, you know, be a head college coach. Well, you know, you're really not ready for that. And I think the adjustment for me coming in as assistant head coach and offense coordinator, you know, under Bill Clark, who's my best friend, college roommate, he had been at South Alabama with Joey Jones, you know, for 5 years starting that program. So it's like that first year I got, you know, those 5 years of knowledge of coaching college ball. And so that really helped me when I became the head coach. And like I said, then went on and had a lot of success for the next 8 years. And then you learn a lot when you go to a Power Four program, especially like Clemson and the way Coach Sweeney does everything and just the money that's put into that level of a program. I've learned a lot in my 4 years at Clemson and the way to run that type of program, manage that type of a budget and all those things. So I just feel like, you know, the journey's kind of prepared me for where I'm at, you know, right now. And this is just a cool job to have. I got great administration, and Dr. Taylor and Mr. Newton is our AD, and the vision here for this university, you know, we're just really, really excited. And, you know, God's just aligning a lot of great people, you know, on our staff and, you know, player-wise and everything. And, hey, we're going to recruit Mobile hard now. Yeah, we will be there. And,
come on, baby.
So many players that come out of Mobile and so many good high school programs. And, you know, I think the development there of players is really, really good. And so we definitely want to teach people there about Samford. May not have heard about Samford. Like I said, I think you got it kind of an Ivy League school in Birmingham, Alabama, just a few hours away from you. So it's a great education, and we're going to win some games.
We're visiting with Coach John Gross, the new head football coach for Samford University. A couple names here, Coach. First off, Bill Clark is a name that I recognize very, very much. A lot of folks do. My son played and got two state championship rings in Prattville under Coach Bill Clark. And when you mention Samford, Mark, there's a guy that promotes Samford around here quite a bit, a good friend of ours, Phil Lasby, who was quite an influence there at Samford. I want to ask you real quick, Coach, when you were at Clemson, was Woody McCorvey still part of that program?
Oh, yes, definitely. Woody's a great friend of mine. It's been great to see Woody every day for the last 4 years. I'm going to kind of miss that. But he's promised me he's stopping by to see us at Samford and, you know, just kind of check us out and give us some advice and everything. So when he comes back home, because he's from that, you know, lower Alabama area, and, like I said. But, yeah, Woody's still there doing great, and what a quality individual. And love Laz and Bill, and, of course, Bill, too. So.
Woody's from Atmore. As a matter of fact, his brother, who passed away in 2015, Orlando, was on our broadcast team for many years. And I had the opportunity to go to Woody's inductee to the Atmore Hall of Fame or High School Hall of Fame. But good stuff there. Coach, as you look at 2026, talk about how you get this program, how you start the program. Talk a little bit about your coaching staff.
Florida's aligning a lot of really good people. I've got staff almost fully complete now. You know, I've got Mickey Kahn's going to be my defensive coordinator, and old Alabama guy, and coached at Grayson High School forever. He's been at Clemson the last 10-12 years, and you know, just done a great job. Been the co-coordinator there, so I mean, he'll kind of call our defense, and then got Andrew Zell and Paul Tyson, who's Bear Bryant's great grandson, Drew Sweeney. You know, so I've got some really good guys there, and just establishing a staff, and I'll be fully released with all those guys next week in positions and stuff. Some of those have not went through kind of HR yet, so I can't mention names and stuff. So we're getting really close on those guys, but yeah, really, it's a great staff. So a mixture of older guys with some experience, with some younger guys who are really, really hungry. So we're excited about that. And you know, building a roster in today's football is challenging, to say the least, with the portal and everything that's happened with college football in the last really 4 or 5 years. And so it's really, the game's really changed. And yeah, we're just going to try to, build it, and I think this level's really good. You still got some, just the purity of football and its level in FCS football, where you're not dealing with some of the more high-profile players. It's all about money, So, and like I said, there's things we wasn't talking about 4 or 5 years ago that you talk about right now, So, and I'm not like one of these people that know me. I'm not trying to come in and build it just to have a winning season next year. We're going to build a program that, we can be proud of here at Samford, and we're going to do it the right way, So we're going to build a program that's going to sustain success and not win 10 games, 1 year and then be 1-10 the next year, So, we want to build it where we can sustain success. And I think if you come in and, one, it's not, correct to do it this way. Come in and cut 50 to 70 guys on a roster, bring all new guys in. I'm just not about that. It's not in me to do it that way, so we're not doing it that way. And, we're going to build it the right way and take our time and make sure we get the right people. And we'll still have success. But like I said, we're just going to do it the right way. And I think we'll get rewarded for that on the backside of it.
There ain't no doubt, Coach, you will. And, man, John, I just can't tell you how glad I am you're back here in Alabama and at Samford. For me personally, it's kind of my mama graduated from Samford.
Oh, wow.
And she taught school there. My brother played ball there. But we appreciate you taking time out of your day, John, to spend with us, and we look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Man, y'all call me anytime. Love to have me on. Thank you for having me on. Y'all have a great day, okay?
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Coach. All right. Boy, he's a good one.
He's a good
guy. That's a good move for Samford.
Yeah, it's a great move for Samford. They're
going to
love that guy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, there's going to be some good things happening there.
Yeah.
All right, hey, let's take a time out. When we come back, you want to talk a little college football?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do that, all right? We'll talk about
just
that
debacle.
Just
don't bring up Alabama again.
We'll talk about that
don't bring
debacle.
It up.
Okay. Don't go anywhere.
Hard
more right for this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Oh, yeah.
He said,
oh, yeah.
Babies in the runaround. Putting your business in the street, talking loud, loud, saying you bought it, this and that, how much you done spend. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent.
That's some good stuff right there. Little Boss Gags bring us back on a beautiful Saturday. Well, a little cloudy, but it's a great Saturday.
Temperature is great.
First Saturday of 2026.
Yes.
Couldn't be with better company right here.
Mark. Absolutely, Randy. So, I appreciate you, man. I do.
If Coach was here, that'd be the cherry on the
That would be.
On the cake, right?
On the cake. Well, yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's talk a little college football. Of course, we're going to do that coming up at 10 o'clock in Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Bobby Hall will be with me. Coach Barry Gibson will be on. We're going to be talking with Brad Law with the Auburn broadcast team. He's going to be on. We'll talk about some basketball, Auburn basketball, and talk about their new coach, Alex Golich. So that'll be coming up at 10 o'clock. But I want to talk with you real quick about the quarterfinals. We saw – just we saw a mess. I mean, really, if you look at it, Oregon defeats Texas Tech. Texas Tech didn't put a point on the board. The final net was 23-0. Got to be honest, we didn't see that. I actually thought Texas Tech might beat Oregon, but that didn't work out. If you look at it, Oregon, the first two games, the teams that got the bye, like last year, remember, all four of those didn't make it.
That's right.
Texas Tech didn't make it. Ohio State didn't make it. And but Indiana, and I got to be honest with you, I think Indiana is going to be your number one team.
They look like the best team to me, but I will say this. Miami's hot. They're playing good football.
They
right
are.
Now. They are physical. I mean, I like to watch them play. I really do. I think they get it. Indiana looks like the most complete team.
Yeah.
They're the most complete. They have every phase right.
Special teams, they got everything.
They don't make mistakes.
No. Let me give these scores to you real quick. Obviously, we saw Miami defeat Ohio State 24-14. I thought a lot of folks thought Ohio State would be in the final game, in the championship game.
Yep.
Well, Miami will advance. Oregon, as I mentioned, defeats Texas Tech. Indiana over Alabama. Alabama puts 3 points on the board. That is pathetic. 38-3 the final on that. And then Ole Miss. Ole Miss defeats Georgia 39-34. A lot of folks had Georgia winning that ball game.
So how many teams that had a bye? Three of the four teams that had a bye lost.
Exactly. The only one that won was Indiana.
Right. They were the only – they came in. They hadn't missed a beat.
No.
I mean, they haven't. And if you look at their coach, watch him stare at you on the sideline, you understand why they don't miss a beat.
That's
Everybody's
right.
afraid to breathe. But that son of a gun – I'm telling you, he had his team ready. They were the most. They are the most complete team I've seen. They've got great defense. They have a tremendous offensive line. They have a great quarterback. They got good receivers, you know, and they just play together as a team.
Let me ask you, did Alabama make them look better?
I don't think Alabama hurt them at all. I mean, it looked like in the third quarter when they just – we went three and out, and then they just – bam – hit us right in the mouth and just down the field and scored. The game was over. I was like, I cannot believe what I'm looking at. And then we had no answer for any. We couldn't run the football and couldn't pass protect either. I mean, we couldn't. So that was very disappointing.
You know, a name you didn't hear a lot defensively for Alabama on Thursday night was Dante Lawson, number zero. All right,
and he's one of my favorite kids on that team.
Absolutely. You played against him. Against Mobile.
And he is just a good – I mean, hear him talk after the game. You know, he was disappointed and down, but he didn't make many plays. But I don't think Deontay's game is what – you know, he and Jefferson, the two linebackers, mm-hmm. are not overly big. I mean, they're good-sized kids, but those guards are playing combos downhill. Guards are chipping up on the linebacker, and they're not real – there never have been great fill linebackers who fill it, hit in the mouth, and stun the guard. They're not built that way. Jefferson's built for speed. That's what he is. So is Deion. They're both speed guys. And there was a time when everybody in the SEC had to be faster because of what everything was going on. Today's game is beginning to change a little bit, in my opinion. I'm beginning to see more and more of three tight ends, two tight ends, one back, balls coming downhill at you. I've even seen – I was even telling Bryant and Landon the other day, we were watching a game, a couple of games, and I said, I'm seeing more teams line up in the I formation than I have seen in years.
So you're kind of going back old school.
It is. It's going – I'm not saying completely,
yeah.
But I saw – teams in the I formation getting that lead back, and all it is an H-back, and they move him around, and they put him at fullback. That's what he's doing, mm-hmm. and they lead block with him. They're running. I mean, look at the pros. Ravens are running toss sweep out of the eye.
Right.
Just like O.J. Simpson used to do, and Mike Garrett and all them guys back when it was student body right and student body left back in the 70s. But that's what I see the game changing a little bit, more downhill, more hard, more play action. which is good because, you know, Miami's running the football. Who runs the football wins the games. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, we're talking with Corey earlier in the show. I mean, Alabama, 17 rushes, 23 yards. Okay, what happened to Alabama's running game? I mean, that was one of the stabilizers. There was Alabama effectively had they had an effective running game, which opened up the passing game. But now we're just Alabama's just one dimensional. If Simpson's not on it, then we got a cast of characters. but I mean, you know what I'm saying? What happened? Where did that change?
I think there was some. Personally, I think we had some misevaluations of talent.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I don't think, you know, our Grubb has a different philosophy of how to run the football than Coach Saban did. You know, Coach Saban was more. I don't care if it was out of the gun or eye. They're coming right at you, and it was more zone scheme. You know, double teams, the combos, kind of like Indiana did. Where theirs is more pick and pull, where we're picking this guy off and pulling around on this guy, and we're, you know, Caden Proctor to me is a road grader. You know, he's not a guy who's going to be finesse blocker, and I don't think he ever got close to his potential.
No, I agree.
And I don't,
as big as he is,
we're huge across front, and we don't move anybody.
No,
something's wrong there. But you know that to me. I don't think we've done a good job. I don't know if we've misevaluated talent or if because the talent we had at one time was built for one offense and now we got new guys in and it's a little different, you know, philosophy offensively. I couldn't tell you. I hope they get it fixed because until we're no longer being called soft, I never thought I'd live to hear that in my lifetime. That's what we're being called right now. So they need to get that fixed. They need to get in the weight room, and they need to get that fixed too because I don't think we're very strong. I don't think we're strong enough.
No, and I agree with you on that. I agree with you completely.
Man, I did love that Ole Miss game, though.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that was fun. And I didn't care who won. I really didn't. I didn't care. I just watched the game, and it was great. It was a great atmosphere. And well, there you go.
you heard it live
right here.
Yeah, no, well, okay, so you look at the semifinals. You've got Miami taking on that Ole Miss team, and they'll do that in Glendale, Arizona, the State Farm Stadium, 7:30 on they will do that on what, I guess, when is that? That's Thursday the 8th. And so again, Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss, can Ole Miss beat Miami?
Yeah, you can't count Ole Miss out of nothing right now. I didn't think they could beat Georgia, but they didn't. They did. They went right in there and did it, you know. And so I don't know. I don't know that. It's hard to pick that one. I think Indiana beats whoever they're playing.
Well, Indiana will take on Oregon.
I think they'll beat
That'll be
Oregon.
On Friday.
I think they'll beat Oregon. But, you know, Oregon's playing at a high level, too, right now.
Yeah.
Very, very good on defense. Of course, I'll be honest with you, Texas Tech did not impress me at all.
See, and I thought they'd play –
defensively, well, they were pretty good.
I thought they would play a little bit harder than they did.
I thought the quarterback would – I don't think he played very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still don't think the college playoffs, they need to tweak it some more.
How do you see it? Because I know you weren't happy with the way the brackets were.
They need to put the best teams – in the tournament, whatever the top 14 teams or whatever, however you figure that, that's who it is. I don't care about, and I don't mean this ugly, but the teams that are in the subdivision right there, like Tulane and James Madison, they're good football teams, but they are not going to go through and win a national championship. They don't have enough talent.
Right.
They don't.
And I think James Madison, had they won, they would have had to have played back-to-back SEC teams.
Right.
So the odds of them advancing were very slim.
I think there are better teams out there than those two teams.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Well, I think you got Texas that didn't make it. Vanderbilt probably should have been in there.
Notre Dame should have been in there.
So we'll see. Are they going to change it? How does it work this year?
I think next year, I think they take the top 14 teams.
Yeah.
I think that's what I heard.
14 or 16.
Oh, however many it is.
Yeah. I think it had to be 16 to get the games right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens for sure.
I don't know if it is because they got to have that first round buys.
Yeah.
That's one big deal is the buys. So I don't know.
But don't you think, too, getting a bye like that and it being so long from your last game to the next game?
But some of them was 26 days.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I mean,
you know, it's great to get people healed up, but you lose your timing, your kids get out of routine, and it showed to me, and it showed for Ohio State.
Yeah.
I thought they were very herky-jerky, which is, to me, is what happens when you have a long time off, you know. I think that's too long. So maybe they don't need a bye. Maybe they need to go ahead and start playing.
So your pick then is Ole Miss over Miami?
Yeah, I'm going to pick them. Even though I'm going to pick Ole Miss.
And Indiana over Oregon?
Yeah.
Because I think that's – you know, there's a part of me that says Miami certainly has an opportunity here, but I think Ole Miss – is right there, and they haven't gotten this far before, and they're like, hey, guys, we have a chance to do something we've never done before, and I think this is it.
They're going to be fine so long as Miami doesn't suit up those two dudes who are on the sideline watching the other night, because if Ray Lewis plays linebacker and Urban plays wideout, it's over.
It's over. It's over. All right, we'll take our final timeout. When we come back, Coach Mark Laster has our Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, on today's show, we have said Happy New Year to everybody that we've had on here, because it's a time for a new year, a new beginning. And as I think about that and what it means, I was reading a little scripture the other day, and it was kind of different. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says we're told that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Not just new every year, they're new every morning. That means no matter what last year held, victories, regrets, failures, or losses, today begins with fresh mercy. God does not ask us to carry yesterday's mistakes into today's purpose. He invites us to step forward, lighter, forgiven, and hopeful. So I'm hoping for me that this year I can walk into this year with faith in my heart, purpose, trust in my Lord, because he's already gone before me. Those are some things that I wanted to share this morning about a new year, because as we start, you know, everybody makes New Year's resolutions. I do all the time, especially about not being a part of the fat pack anymore. I want to lose some weight, so I'm the skinny one in the fat pack. That's not happening.
It's okay to dream.
those resolutions, they're good. It's good to do that, but it's something that I think we ought to do every day. That it's something that we have an opportunity to do every day. We have an opportunity to be something different, something special every single day. You know, there is a lot of things that go on in our world that we don't see or we don't talk about, especially in sports. You know, there's a story that I wanted to tell y'all about. It's a football game that's bigger than the score. This happened this last year. Paradise, California, and I can't even pronounce it, Liliana Luna, Hawaii, I can't even pronounce it. High school football teams were planning a special game for this year. They're planning one for this year, meant to inspire and hope healing communities that were devastated by wildfires. The matchup isn't for competition, but about bringing two towns together to recover from tragedy, celebrating the resilience through sports. You know, those are things that don't get talked about enough. You know, that's something that happened last year. That's going to be a new beginning for this year. Those two communities, one's in California, one's in Hawaii, and they're going to meet somewhere and play a ball game, you know, to try to raise money and show the resilience of those two communities, you know, after the wildfires destroyed homes, schools, fields, you know, everything. It's a new beginning. It's a start. And that's what we're trying to do here with this new year. That's what I want to try to do, is to make this year every day be a new beginning.
You know, there in Hawaii, last September, Bobby Hall and I went to Hawaii, and we went there and looked at that devastation of those wildfires. And the way it came down that hill, that mountain, was weird. The way it was, I mean, almost perfectly, it wasn't like just scattered. It was like straight in the line. But, yeah, so that would be really neat for those two teams to come together, because you're talking about Palisades as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And that would be neat for them to do that and have a new beginning. But that's it. I mean, you know, 2026 is here. We do have resolutions. Some of them, you know, the one that I always love is everybody says, I'm going to get in shape. And they'll go sign up at a gymnasium or a gym or whatever, Planet Fitness, whatever it is.
Yeah.
When they'll work out for about 2 or 3 weeks, that's it. That's it.
Yep.
So we got to stick with them, though. If you make it, stick with it. All right? And it's hard.
It is hard.
You know? So, but you got to make it attainable, something that you can do.
Right. Don't make it something that's, you know, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, you know, in 2 months. I won't lose 40 pounds in a year, you know. I realize that. I can try, but it's not going to happen. But what I do want to do is, you know, there's some things that we all need to do to try to help better ourselves, you know. And I do want to make more room for prayer in my life, you know, every day. Just praying to be the best person, the best version of myself, if that's all the prayer is for that day. But that's a new beginning each day. And I think it's an important thing to do.
Yeah, and that really is. That's a good one. You know, another good one. This is not hard to do. This is not hard to do. Is do one thing nice for somebody every day. Whether it's opening a door, whether saying good morning, whatever. Just do one night. If everyone did that, think about how this would be a little different.
You know, so you remember that commercial? I think it was Verizon. I'm not sure, but the person was walking and they dropped something.
Oh, yeah.
They picked it up and gave it to them, and that person then played it forward.
Yep.
You know, and then they went and did something, and it came all the way back around to the first person at the beginning of it.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, doing something nice for no reason other than just trying to make somebody's day a little bit better.
That's right. That's right. That make the world a whole lot better.
It would wouldn't it?
Hey, great show today. Had Coy LeBounty on. That was great talking with him. Had the wrestling coach of Robert Steele, J.T. Gosnell, was on with us. Scott Ware, the Hoover basketball coach, and John Gross, with the new head coach for the Bulldogs of Samford University. Great to have him on.
Absolutely.
And it was a fun way to kick the 2026 year out. Of course, coming up in the next show, Southern Fairway Sports Radio, Coach Barry Gibson, the Hall of Famer, is going to be on with us. Bobby Hall will be with us. Will you be able to hang tight, or
I'm going to head on back home. Okay. I actually have gate duty today at Bayside. So we got basketball games. I got a couple things to do before that. So.
Who's Bayside playing today?
If I'm not mistaken, it's St. Michael's.
Okay.
I looked at so many schedules last night, I don't remember, but I think we're playing St. Michael today.
Okay, we talked a bit about Phillip Rivers going back and playing with the Indianapolis Colts. How cool would it be to have Barry Gibson out there as the wideout?
Yes.
At 70 years old playing wideout? Oh, my goodness.
All right, run a go route.
Yeah. Barry could run the 40 like 4.3, right? Now it's like 4 minutes and 3 seconds. Oh, my goodness. Hey, stick around. Southern Fairways is coming up next. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mark, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ben.
And certainly we'll have Coach Rick Cleveland be back with us next week. So we want to thank you for being with us today. We wish you a very happy New Year. And, hey, as Rick would say, same place, same time next week.
Next week.
So be sure
to join us.
Same
bat channel.
There you go. Hey, Southern Fairways coming up next right here.